And that is the first stanza of The Only Son from Heaven. Here we go on Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, January the 9th, in the year of our Lord 2018. And of course, on Tuesdays, I have with us our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Wasn't that terrible ice storm we had Sunday morning?
Oh, well,
no, we didn't.
Cold. We didn't really. No, no, it wasn't that bad.
Fake news. Even fake the weather news. Is fake news now. I tell you. Yeah, in fact, we never have our Christmas together with the family till after December the 26th. When all the sales are half.
Oh, I see. Well, that kind of stretches the holiday out a little bit.
Oh, it was great. So we had it Sunday, and some of the family was phoning to see if we should even have it with the threat of ice and such.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was
Wasn't that bad at all.
Not at all.
But it was still cold.
Well, not really, because the wind is what makes it cold. It wasn't that windy either. Yeah, I was filling up with gas, and there's something wrong with my gas tank. It only allows me to put, in, you know, you can do it automatically. Yeah. It only puts a third of a gallon in at a time, then stops.
Hmm.
So there's something stuck in there, and so I have to hold it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's how I always fill my gas tank.
Yeah, Saturday I used a glove, but I didn't have to on Sunday, so I didn't think it was that. We are taking a look at The Only Son from Heaven. It's an Epiphany hymn. But before I do so, I have an email here from a good friend of ours, Henry Gehrke.
Henry Gehrke.
Yes. Excellent organist at Reformation.
I'll be anxious to know what he
says. Down in St. Louis. And also, he plays here occasionally at the International Center.
Right.
Too. So, just great organist. I always loved hearing him play at the chapel at Concordia Seminary. They got a double organ there now. And boy, that was something. Tom, why do you have Mark Smith on? Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. That's a different letter. Excuse me. Here's what he writes, truly. Tom, the hymn you will discuss tomorrow was written by Elizabeth Kreutziger, the wife of professor at Wittenberg University.
How about that?
At the time of Martin Luther. She is probably the first woman of the Reformation to write such a hymn for Lutherans. Thought you would like to know, Henry Gehrke. And I looked up some other information on her. In fact, this woman wrote this touching Epiphany hymn. And guess what? It appeared in the two hymnals containing Luther's first hymns in 1524.
Hmm.
This hymn enjoys the distinction of being the first Jesus hymn of the evangelical church, has tender lines, stands in contrast to the more combative verses of the early male hymn writers.
Combative verses.
Yes, that's kind of interesting. A mighty force.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah, okay. And originally, it consisted of five stanzas, and the first three stanzas that Kreutziger wrote are translated by Arthur T. Russell. But I don't think a lot of people realize that even women were writing hymns, and according to Henry, this was probably the first woman of the Reformation to write a hymn for Lutherans.
How about that? She was she an organist?
I have no idea about that.
At Wittenberg University,
no,
at the time of Luther.
She was the wife of a professor.
Wife of a professor, okay.
At Wittenberg University.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that much more about her individual life. But that's kind of something to think about.
Yeah.
That here we have a woman writing a solid Lutheran hymn. The Only Son from Heaven. So without further ado, why don't you read the first stanza, please?
The only Son from Heaven, foretold by ancient seers, by God the Father given, in human form appears. No sphere his light confining, no star so brightly shining as he, our morning star.
Now, I don't know if you heard my promo, but I said, are not all Christians sons of God?
Yeah, we're all children of God.
Sons of God.
Sons of God. Well, yes. All right. Yeah.
Very important. Yeah. Then how come she says this is the only son from heaven? Aren't we all from heaven?
Well, we're not all on the same level as Jesus. We're all baptized members of the family. But I certainly don't claim to be part of the Godhead as Jesus was.
So when we talk about the only son from heaven, there's an adjective.
The only begotten son.
And we are?
We are adopted.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. That's a huge difference. So he's, even Jesus says this, when you see me, you see the?
The Father.
I and the Father are?
One.
Yeah. I mean, time and time again, and people fell down and worshiped him. And so it's very important to understand that the only son from heaven is the only begotten one, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the Epiphany season. What I found interesting, the book that I looked up some more information just so happens to have the German in it. And the first lines, Herr Christ, der eine Gottes Sohn, Vaters in Ewigkeit. So that's a pretty good translation. The only son from heaven. Aus sein Herzen ents Prozessen. Now, what does that mean? That's not translated here in that way.
What is the German again? Can you give it again?
Yeah, well, what I'm going to actually give is what the translation is out of the heart of the Father, he came. That's what the German actually says. Whereas here in the English, the translator went, by God the Father given. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The picture in stanza one of Christ going forth from the heart of God the Father has its roots in certain hymns like Of the Father's Love.
The Begotten.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful hymn.
Oh, that is. You know, I had in the sermon, two things Jesus had to do in order to die for our sins. As God, he could not die for our sins.
He had to give up his life. He had to offer up his life.
No, two things.
Okay.
Because God could offer up his life, but it wouldn't have done any good.
That's right.
The first thing, he had to become a human being.
Okay, right.
And so that's Christmas.
Yes.
But there's something else he had to become, and a lot of people don't think about this much. Do you ever remember the baby Jesus being referred to as a sinner in the Bible?
No.
That's very good. You are absolutely correct. Never is the baby Jesus a sinner. And if you ask most people, he had to become a sinner. Mm-hmm. And you'll ask them, when did that occur? And most of them will say, at the crucifixion. But
yeah,
that's not correct.
Or even in Gethsemane. Yes, when he was extremely sorrowful unto death and sweat drops of blood and that sort of thing.
But that's not when.
We always talk about it being at his baptism.
Yes.
When he made that great exchange.
When
took the sins of the world upon himself.
Remember, John the Baptist says, it's not necessary for you to be baptized. You need to baptize me.
And Jesus says, oh, yes, it is necessary.
Because we must fulfill
all righteousness.
Yes. And I looked up that word righteous. You know what is righteous? Any time that something is done according to God's will. And I believe that's why God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Because just being baptized isn't anything.
Right.
But by
taking on
the
world's sins.
And see, that was not a sacramental baptism, John the Baptizer's, for forgiveness. It was a ceremonial baptism to prepare through repentance for the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And that's why Jesus, John the Baptizer, didn't think he needed to be baptized. He was no sinner, but to fulfill all righteousness. And That's really kind of interesting that at his baptism, Jesus took upon the sin of the world.
Okay, now I have a question for you.
No, wait, I haven't finished. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, when Jesus takes on the sin of the world. When else does he say that?
At the Transfiguration.
And why would he say it there? What was the conversation that Elijah and Moses...
Well, because they were talking about his demise, or his exodus, is actually the word that's used there.
Very good in the Greek.
Yes.
Yes.
That he would accomplish in Jerusalem.
That he would go to be crucified.
Exactly. That's what they were talking about.
And this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The two times is the one time when he took on your sin, and the second time is when he died for it. And so he had to become a human being. He had to take on our sin. Now, that's a really important point, because I ended the sermon by saying, therefore, even though he never sinned, Christ was regarded by God the Father as a sinner.
That's right.
And therefore, even though you and I never do a perfectly righteous work, God the Father regards us as righteous.
That's right.
It's
Christ's righteousness that covers us.
That's right. And it's called forensic righteousness. Namely, it's kind of a legal term here, where God declares Jesus to be a sinner, even though he isn't, and he declares us to be righteous, even though we aren't.
That's that great divine exchange
that
Christ makes with us.
Now, there are occasions under the life of sanctification that we can do righteous deeds. But that's not the righteousness that saves us.
No.
No. That already has happened.
And even our works of righteousness are filthy rags.
Yes.
Without Christ.
What does the congregation often confess? I, a poor...
miserable sinner.
Yes. And we deserve nothing but...
punishment.
Temporal
and eternal punishment.
Exactly. Yes.
Apart from Christ. Yes.
So, I kind of like the German there that... Jesus comes from the heart of God the Father.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, that really shows the divinity.
We talk about the Father heart of God, yes.
Yes. In human form appears, no sphere his light confining. What does that mean?
No sphere his light confining. Well, his light extends throughout all his creation.
Exactly. In fact, what were the first words of Jesus in the Bible?
Let there be light.
Yes, let there be light.
He's the word, the eternal word of God.
Yes. You got the Trinity in the first three verses of Genesis. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and then let there be light, he said. And if you go to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and nothing was created.
That was not made from him.
Yes. Yeah. So, scripture.
You know, I grew up thinking, and I think a lot of kids grew up thinking, oh, God the Father, that's the Creator, God
that's
the
right.
Son, that's the Redeemer.
Yeah.
But Christ and the Holy Spirit, they were involved in creation too.
In fact, the Holy Trinity is involved in almost all the actions of God except for one.
Except for the cross.
That's right. God the Father didn't die. God the Holy Spirit didn't die.
We even speak of God the Father raising Jesus from the dead.
And the Bible says Jesus rose himself from the dead.
Right, it speaks both ways.
And it says the Holy Spirit rose from the dead.
I think you're right.
I remember that,
yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's kind of interesting.
Well, that's why we're sitting here on KFUO. Kind of interesting.
Look, to borrow a word from your time, you're always saying... I think it's interesting. Everything's interesting for you.
Well, it is. And interesting is an insight you'd have not regarded before. That's what I consider to be interesting. That's why I love reading a lot of stuff from theologians that are better than I in examining specific texts and such, like James Veltz and all. I mean, you just get a sermon every time you read a page out of his commentary.
Yeah.
All right. Stanza 2. O time of God appointed, O bright and holy morn, he comes, the King anointed, the Christ, the Virgin born. Grim death to vanquish for us, to open heaven before us, and bring us life again. Now, there was a number of things that happened at Jesus' baptisms, but what was one of them? in light of this?
The heaven open. The
yes.
heavens open.
Isn't that interesting?
And the Spirit of God descended like a dove.
Exactly. And so we're showing that Jesus is from heaven, and that other comforter he's going to leave with us is the Holy Spirit. And, of course, God the Father is involved with the proclamation.
The voice out of heaven.
Exactly. I've often thought that in a church above the baptismal font, they should paint on the ceiling clouds with the Holy Spirit yeah. descending.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens even to an infant.
Yeah, have you ever seen that done in a baptistry
no.
or at a
no.
church? I haven't either, and, I,
no.
and I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah. I don't think people... You know, you're baptizing an infant, and okay, so he's now saved. But they have to realize he gets two gifts. According to Peter at the Pentecost sermon, you receive the gift of the remission
of sins
and the gift of the
Holy Spirit.
Yes. That infant has that.
Holy Spirit dwells in that little infant. That little infant has become his temple.
Yes.
It's not just a little photo opportunity. Something's actually happening there.
Wait till the end, but I'll say it now because it fits right with what you just said. Did you ever hear the story of the atheist, the gay person, and the pastor who went into a bar?
No, I don't think I've ever heard that, Tom. Now, what is it again? Atheist, gay person, and the pastor.
Yes.
Okay. They go into a bar, and what?
Well, you'll have to wait till tomorrow because that's what happened to me on New Year's Eve.
Oh, really?
See, I wear this coat, and what's on the back
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, Law and Gospel.
Law and Gospel. And an individual asked me, Gospel, has that got to do with the church? And I said, yes. And they asked, would I take some time to talk with them?
Oh, great. What an opportunity.
And it was a fascinating conversation, and I'm going to be doing it tomorrow on Insight Wednesday.
I'll bet that is.
Yeah, the story of...
What bar was this?
South St. Louis.
South St. Louis, huh?
In fact, I'll just say one thing. It didn't take long before people in the bar figured out I was a pastor.
Uh-huh.
And the bartender came over to me, and he said, by the way, I went to Lutheran High South. And do you know these people? And every person he named, I knew.
Is that right?
Yeah. Some from, and in fact, they one of them was attending St. John's Ellisville.
Ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of interesting. But I'm going to wait till tomorrow.
Oh, I'll be.
Because that's.
Got my rapt attention.
Yes. Yeah, you'll be at White Castle or something. Okay, at any rate, and the reason I did this is because we got in a discussion as to how do I know I was correct in what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I said, because this is what the Word of God says. And they said, well, how do you know that's true? And I said, because I was baptized. And that really led to a conversation.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But that's why I wanted to bring it up now. Because in baptism, you receive the gift of the Spirit that helps you to understand the Bible in ways that you never realized. Okay, stanza 3.
O Lord, our hearts awaken to know and love you more, in faith to stand unshaken, in spirit to adore. That we, through this world moving, each glimpse of heaven proving, may reap its fullness there.
Okay, what does it mean, each glimpse of heaven proving?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an interesting line, that we through this world, as we move through this world, we get glimpses of heaven. Foretaste of heaven that we get in the Lord's Supper, for instance.
Well said.
The scriptures
yes.
is a glimpse of heaven.
And the comfort that
right.
you get that others don't get.
And then baptism itself is a glimpse of heaven.
Saw a fascinating thing on TV last night. You know, I tape it and then I can skip all the commercials. But what do they talk about? What's the phrase used when a man is following a woman everywhere she goes?
Stalk.
Yes, very
yes.
good. It was on stalking.
Yes, right, right.
What really surprised me was how scared these women are. Of course, they got emails that they're going to, you know, be killed and stuff like that. And what I found fascinating, a lot of states for a long time didn't have any anti-stalking laws. Now most of them
do. Now they
do,
yes.
Yeah,
oh,
now they do. But what I found it most interesting, except for the first one they used, it was a wonderful singer. And she didn't even know she was being stalked. And she walked out of the place she was singing, and she was shot to death.
Goodness sake.
And then the guy killed himself.
Goodness.
But every other one of them that were being stalked by men who they had slept with outside of marriage.
Hmm.
And I was just thinking how God allows sin to have repercussions. And if you're that kind of a woman who's going to do that, don't be surprised if you get stalked. Because these men, most of the stalkers seem to have a mental illness, according to this program.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, no amount of reason or anything, like one of them was schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. They had a guy
on... So this program was all about stalking?
Yeah, for 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And they had a guy from Los Angeles on there who was a policeman in that area. And he said, what a stalker wants to do is own you. Mm. And if he can't own you, nobody else will.
Yeah, ooh, that's creepy.
No, that's really kind of scary and stuff. But... the majority of them, if not 90% of them, were being stalked by men that they had slept with outside of marriage.
Did they talk about men being stalked at all?
Yes. I was surprised that of the stalkers, I think they said 15% were women. Hmm. Like, you know, the two women and I have problems with. Oh, yeah. The one's your wife and the other's my wife. They're stalking us all the time. Yeah. Where was I in Venture when I saw your wife across the street in a car with binoculars? By the way, none of this is true.
Yeah, that's right. You better give that disclaimer there.
Yeah. Now, I stalk Louise because she'll go out shopping, and as soon as she walks in the door, I say, oh,
you went to
Venture, Trader Joe's, Sam's, and I named the six places because with our bank account, the bills show up on the computer immediately now. So she can't hide nothing. I don't know why she has all that cash. But anyway, stanza four.
O Father, hear before you with God the Holy Ghost. And we and Jesus, we adore you, O pride of angel host. Before you, mortals lowly cry, holy, 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 O blessed Trinity. And of course, that's a doxological verse.
Which means they stand.
You stand for
it. And where do you get the holy, holy, holy?
What verse? Well, it's talking about the Trinity.
Yes, but the verse is from, remember, Isaiah 6.
Uh-huh, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the angels with six wings and that. And Isaiah, oh, woe is me, I'm an unclean man. And God says, yep, I know that, so go do ministry for me. Oh, okay.
And then he takes the tongs with the coal and touches
the angel
to our lips.
Does.
Yes,
yeah.
The angel does, right.
From the altar.
Right.
And the altar for us is, of course, the cross of Christ. So... O Father, hear before you, that's referring to Jesus, with God the Holy Ghost. So all three are the Trinity. And Jesus, we adore you, O pride of angel hosts. What does that mean?
Jesus, we adore you, O pride of angel hosts. Well, he is the captain of Sabaoth.
Yes.
The whole army of angels.
You didn't say Sabbath. You said Sabaoth. Which we believe means...
It's the whole garrison of holy angels.
Angelic angels,
yes. The whole army.
Particularly when in the Old Testament, Jesus is often referred to as the...
Archangel?
No. Angel of the Lord.
Angel of the Lord, right.
The
right.
angel
right.
with a definite article.
Right.
If you're talking about a regular angel, it's an angel. Like Gabriel and Michael were just regular angels.
That's right.
But... Jesus appeared before Moses at the burning bush as the angel of the Lord, and he said his name was Yahweh. You know, I am who I am.
Right.
So that was really interesting. So he's the pride of angel hosts. Can you imagine the angels are having lunch and Jesus walks in? Boy, they would just be singing and all.
Why do you always connect this with food, Tom?
I don't know, because I'm hoping there's food in heaven.
You're going to be disappointed if there isn't.
I probably want to stay in heaven. No, my grandmother made the,
Well, it talks about the banquet, the wedding banquet.
Yeah, that's
I can't imagine there wouldn't be wondrous food.
No, exactly.
And all you can eat. You can eat all you want.
All of it healthy.
And never get heavy, right?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. So, before you mortals lowly, that means Jesus is superior to us, cry, holy, 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 O blessed Trinity. I'm going to use this hymn Sunday.
Are you?
Well, it's going to be for the... I'll tell you why.
I'm a little unfamiliar with the melody.
Yeah. We have a baptism.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And then this hymn will fit right into that. And there's some items in the text that will work well. I was a little disappointed we didn't have the baptism last week. The baptism of Jesus would have really fit well.
Yes.
And such. When's the last time you had a baptism?
Oh, November the 18th.
Oh, that's nice.
My own granddaughter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a joyous day.
Oh, absolutely.
You probably all went out and had a great time at what, White Castle?
Or? No, at our home.
Oh. Well, at least I take them to White Castle. No, we had our big Christmas party on Sunday, and there must have been 40 presents.
No kidding.
Because they had four kids. So each one of them got 10. But it was really a lot of fun. So next week, you're going to be with me?
As far as I know, God willing.
All righty. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, remember the story of a atheist, a gay man, and a pastor went into a bar. And, well, you'll have to wait till tomorrow to hear the rest. I'm Tom Baker, Mark Smith. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.